A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, everyone. It is the build-up show. Liverpool-Leicester League Cup quarter-final action. Roy Thomas and Andy Bell join me in the studio for this one. And once again, same rules as the Tottenham build-up. We're just going to talk as though it's all defo fine. It's all defo going ahead. And if things change, then we'll adjust accordingly. But we are live here on YouTube, of course, as we always are. If you want to interact with us, use the live chat alongside. And you got any thoughts, feelings, questions, or anything like that, then do get them into us and we'll chat through them if we can. It seems likely this one will go ahead. You know, on the only proviso on this, and Klopp kind of referenced this, he clearly just wants to play the games. Mm-hmm. He's got no time whatsoever for postponed fixtures because he knows, and he's seen it firsthand, what happens. They start to pile up at times where you lose control over your season when those things start to happen. That being said, he also did reference the point where there will come a point that if we continue to get positive cases, then they will be left with no choice. Mm-hmm. And it makes you wonder where that kind of is. We know it'll still be no Virgil. We know it'll be no Thiago, likely Fabinho, Curtis Jones. We don't know the situation with Jordan Henderson. We know that wasn't COVID-related. Yeah. That was a proper cold, as it was described.
Proper cold.
But if we were to lose one or two more from the midfield, that's probably the point at which Jürgen does kind of put his hand up and say, we can't do this.
Yeah, well, to be fair, if it was the midfield that was detrimented even further, then, we wouldn't be able to field a team. I, to be honest, kind of had a feeling that after the Spurs game, we might find something out. Beginning of this week, I personally think that maybe now might be a perfect point to stop it, because there's increasing COVID cases in every team near enough now. I don't think there's, off the top of my head anyway, I don't think there's any team that I've looked at and they've gone, oh, they're all fine. Yeah. Everyone seems to be having at least a case or two. And our team at the moment's getting from bad to worse. And forget like what where you stand on COVID and stuff. When you see the detriment it's now having in football, you've kind of just got to stand up and say, right, okay, we need somewhere here. We need to stop it, in the sense of postpone a fixture for a week or two, let those cases recover. And I'll be very surprised if this game goes ahead, myself personally.
Yeah, the problem with all of this, Andy, is so you stop it for a game or two. What, you know, in 2 weeks' time when it's back, you then have another spike in cases because everyone's back in. And then you're back in that situation where people go, well, do we stop it again? My suspicion is they'll play on for a number of reasons, because I don't think there's any appetite from the Premier League or the owners or the football clubs to be back in a world where they're not bringing revenue in. Now, I know postponements mean these games will get played eventually, but they'll want to make sure that, because the fear is, and I mentioned this last week on the build-up to Tottenham, how do you bring it back? Because there's no like clear wide solution. The hope is, and we're seeing this with Jürgen Klopp being quite vociferous on the whole vaccination thing, is this might be a situation that just encourages any stragglers, in terms of footballers in particular, go and get it boxed, insulate yourselves as best as possible, because they want the footy to press on. What we do know is there's a conversation around the 28th game.
Yeah.
Something might develop today, but as I say, we'll just go ahead with the notion that this is the case. I thought Liverpool were going to rotate heavily for this game regardless. Rotation is going to be hampered by the fact that, because of the COVID cases, the lads who would naturally have rotated into this match, you know, the midfield in particular, all started against Tottenham. You know, you could have foreseen a world where Milner, you know, Tyler Morton almost certainly would have started this game, would have got a good opportunity to get Naby Keita some minutes, etc. That's where we might end up stronger than we think, or actually totally weaker than we think, because we'll have no choice but to play a bunch of kids.
Yeah, I do definitely think this game's going to go ahead just because I think the idea of postponing it now, as you say, and having that fixture backlog down the line, even if you know you are playing three games in a week and you are going to play all the kids, you still have to prepare for it. You still have to, you know, go through all the rigmarole of getting everything set up and selecting a team and Klopp turning up to the game and everything like that. It just puts a little bit of a spanner in the works. So I do think that's going to happen. And, you know, you look at it and I remember when like Jota and all got injured in Denmark in that Champions League fixture the other year, and it all came out afterwards that you actually get $2.5 million for every Champions League game you win, and I'm pretty sure that's actually more than you get if you win the actual League Cup. So, you know, not that it's all about all about money. And yes, look, we'd all love a day at Wembley. I'd love to go to Wembley up in February if things are still open and stuff. But from their point of view, from Klopp's point of view, from the club's point of view, they'd probably rather play a team similar to that played in that Villa League Cup quarterfinal all those years ago, or the Shrewsbury game where all the players were around their winter break. I think they'd actually rather do that than have the fixture postponed down the line. And you know, there's always talk about whether you throw a team of kids out and whether what that does to their confidence if they do get battered. What I would say about that though is, you know, Harvey Elliott plays in that 5-0 defeat to Aston Villa. Yeah. You know, there are a good few players there who have gone on and it clearly hasn't knocked them at all. They know the context of it. Yes, it will be hard for them at the time if they do take a battering. And don't get me wrong, if we put out a team of kids here, I don't think we will take a battering. But if we do, I think it's massively overplayed, that idea of their confidence and how it knocks them. I think in almost a way it can make them a little bit more resilient.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, the thing about it in terms of Klopp's team selection, and we'll go a bit deeper in this in the second half, but he likes to put out the best, the weakest side that he thinks capable of winning.
Yeah.
And the problem we've had in these cup fixtures over the years is we've come up against teams who have got a load of quality themselves. You know, we're very rarely knocked out by teams that aren't, you know, comparable to Liverpool in terms of size. You know, think about the FA Cup game, you know, before the COVID thing kind of kicks off and we lose to Chelsea in the FA Cup, and we've been knocked out by some half-decent teams along the way. I think he would like to make this a B-team tournament if he could, but I think we've already seen, Roy, in terms of how we've approached this, I think Klopp trusts his squad. I think he likes his squad, and I think this is the best squad we've ever had. So we can put out a similar, how to phrase this, but there's lads who fulfil similar roles in the squad that did the same as 5 years ago, but they're just better now. So there's a chance we could put out the same type of side. So you could put out your second choice goalie and your second choice right back and left back and your fourth and third choice centre halves and so on and so forth. They might actually still be capable of actually being good in this game of football.
We've got good squad depth. Yeah. Overall, showed that in AC Milan. We've got great squad depth. I am surprised that Keller hasn't actually played, like we were saying before. You know, we were talking about it before off air. I would expect that he would come in all honesty, but that back four that you talk about probably will be the likes of Nico, Shimikas. And then the centre-halves, Konate, Matip. Has he got any other choice, really, you know, with Philipson? Van Dijk.
Well, Gomez is an obvious. But you know, but that's it. Well, we'll pick up on that in a bit. I just want to quick give an update of Sky Sports. Have been reporting on what's happening in the latest in conversations around football. There's a meeting set for 1 p.m. today. A special Premier League shareholders meeting will take place at 1 p.m. on Monday to discuss the impact that rising numbers of coronavirus cases are having on the division. 6 of 10 Premier League games of the weekend were postponed, and clubs need to decide whether to spend the next round of games on Boxing Day as a COVID circuit breaker. Some sides feel they should carry on playing where possible because there's no guarantee the situation will improve if they stop, while others feel the integrity of the competition is being threatened and the next round of games should be called off. Yeah, as mentioned, we'll be doing a Redmen Reacts, hopefully should something break on that, but we'll press on. I mean, the question is with the Leicester stuff, because we're talking about Liverpool, and we'll do more on Liverpool as mentioned, but how strong will they go for this? I mean, you're Brendan Rodgers. You're obviously not.
I talk about like him.
you've got a better reach than he has. But the just looking at how they played Brighton in the last round, they had Danny Ward in goal. They had Soyuncu, Vestergaard and Bertrand as a back three. And a couple of players I'd never heard of, Daly Campbell and Dewsbury Hall. Hamza Choudhury was in midfield. Thomas was on the far side. Luckman, Barnes and Dacher. So obviously some decent names in there, but Brendan has treated it with, has obviously rotated for it so far. Normally, I think you kind of, there's a tacit agreement between managers, you know, where you go, well, we're going to rotate and you're going to rotate, so let's both rotate and we can focus on bigger things.
I wonder whether Brendan Rodgers is the kind of guy in this situation, given how his season's going, where he might just try and pull a bit of a fast one and go stronger for this match, because it probably means more to his profile to get closer to winning a piece of silverware than Liverpool does at this point.
Well, I think we were saying just before we came on air that, you know, depending on what you've just said about the meeting they're having today, depending on what comes out of that or what intelligence Jurgen Klopp or Brendan Rodgers have on that, will that impact the strength of the team they put out? If they knew there's no game on the 28th
and they're pretty much,
or the 26th, I think they'll really push to get the 26th, is like across the country it's the biggest money maker for clubs really, and that's why they're doing it. It makes no sense from a medical point of view to play 26th and call the 28th, but that's obviously why they're doing it. But if they knew they pretty much have a week in between, well, for us, between Leeds and Chelsea, I'm not sure who they're playing either side of that Premier League fixture that's arranged for against us, whether they will be tempted to go a little bit more strong. And yeah, you know, we would like to be in a cup semi-final at the end of the day. It's more football, and then that's a bit of a pain in the ass for certainly Klopp. And I think for Rodgers as well, I think he has a bit of a history of rotating in the cup competitions. The only thing I would say about him from his point of view is he did get the FA Cup last season, so he has got that domestic silverware off his back. It's not as if it's like, you know, the way people always went on about Pochettino needing to win a trophy or Spurs needing to win a trophy. He's had it last year, and well, I'm sure they'd love to be in the semi-final and get to the final and be competing for more silverware, because they're a very good team. I don't think it's on the top of their agenda like it would have been maybe if they lost it last year. And just like for who they play up front, obviously they've been choosing between Daka and Vardy recently. Daka has actually played most of the Premier League games in the last two or three, I think, so you know they could still have Jamie Vardy playing up front in a second string side, which is you know, worrying for us.
There's an interesting thing developing with this competition, Roy, where City being out kind of opens it up to everyone else. I think City have kind of, people don't seem to draw their attention to this, but I was talking to Toffee TV boys about this and how City are to blame for like the happiness, I think, of a lot of like mid-tier Premier League club fans supporting those teams, who would not be like, well, let's because all you had to do was have a real concerted push. Like Leicester should have been able to win the League Cup a few times in this time. There's, you know, the Evans, the Spurs, there's a bunch of sides there who should be in contention, but City just going, actually, we're going to take this seriously. It's not for them. It's like, but it does open the door, you know, to someone like a Brendan Rodgers. And I know I agree with the point that he doesn't have that same pressure because they won the FA Cup. But the league season is not going to plan for him. No. You know, I can't really foresee a situation where they're in the box seat for fourth, and then it's whether they win or, you know, it's on a game to decide whether they're in there. It would be a big ask for them to get in the top four this season. So pressure will Mountain, you know, and we've seen it, Martin Wenger, for God's sake, has deflected enough attention with some domestic silverware to keep himself in a job. That's the only situation where I think where Brendan Rodgers might go on, I will just go a bit.
No, I think he will go as strong as he possibly can. For two reasons. The fact that he won the FA Cup, I think he'll want to build on that. You know, if he won this, imagine, you know, two trophies in two seasons, as you say, taken away from the fact that he slipped out of the top four last season. It's not going to plan this year. So I think he actually will go particularly strong, because if you're in the quarterfinals, you might as well try and win it now. You know, you've put obviously a lot of time and effort in the earlier rounds, and there's now, as you know, after if they did beat Liverpool, it's only, you know, it's only two games and you could find yourself with silverware.
Yeah,
they're out of Europe as well now, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, I've lost count.
They certainly went out of the Europa League.
I think they're in the Conference League now, aren't they? Which is the Carabao Cup of European competitions, anyway. It's going to be an interesting one, because I do wonder whether he will do that. But equally, as you say, and this is where this is obviously tough having this conversation without the full, you know, breadth of the picture. If they're saying Boxing Day is cancelled, they're saying Boxing Day and the 28th is cancelled, or they're saying, you know, there's going to be a run or whatever. You're right. Liverpool might just go, well, Fuzzy's going to get stopped at some point, or, you know, well, let's just go hard. Let's just go and put the best possible team out. Mm-hmm. And again, sometimes you can, we might find ourselves, we'll have this conversation again in a second, but you might find that we do go a little bit stronger to save ourselves messing.
Especially after 1 o'clock as well, if we find out that, you know, those games are cancelled, because we won't get any, well, not, you know, there'll be a break for us. So we might as well put out the strongest team possible. If we're, as I say, if we're in the quarters, we might as well go for it.
Absolutely. Right, we're going to talk about what Liverpool and what Jurgen Klopp can do with this side, some of the potential options and pitfalls, and another look at the fixtures around it as well. But we have got a trivia question before the break. What is Brendan's best result as an opposition manager at Anfield? If you can name the game, the time, the team, all that kind of stuff, and I'll give you some bonus points out for naming Liverpool's starting 11 in that game as well. Yeah, we'll be back after this very short break.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey everyone, Mate here. Just a little insert from me to say that if you enjoy this podcast and the other podcast that we put out for free and you want more, then my word, you can have more on the redmentv.com. Go over there, sign up and get extra bonus shows from us each and every week, as well as a whole suite of video content, documentaries, features and interviews. But yes, you can also play those podcasts in your native podcasting app as well to have a seamless Redmen TV experience in your ears. The redmentv.com. Sign up there today. Hey, welcome back. Yes, if you want to join into our Club Legend group, then you're going to be entering the daily prize draws running all the way to Christmas Day. That Kenny Dalglish signed shirt is an absolute pelter. I'll be perfectly honest, I got him to sign it and I was like, I really like that. There's a part of me that just wants to have it on the wall in the studio. So I have, you know, it's Christmas, spirit of sharing, upbeat positivity and all that. And of course, you know, giving you guys the Club Legends on Redmen Plus a little bit of an extra bonus as well. So yeah, I grudgingly, it'll be one of those days where Ross takes it off me to go and post it and I'll be like, oh, just pulling onto it. So yeah, we'll it should be fine though. We are going to be doing the draw momentarily. I'd completely forgotten that I had to do it, so I'm frantically just copying everyone's names into the wheel of names so we can get that going in a sec. But yes, the trivia question before the break was Brendan Rodgers' best result as an opposition manager at Anfield? And bonus points for giving me some more details around it. Andy, have you got any clue?
The first thing that came into my head was the 0-0 with Swansea.
That is correct.
Is it? Get it.
He has never won as an opposition manager at Anfield. He has beaten us. He obviously beat us last season at the Walker's Stadium, whatever it's called these days. whatever.
The Walker's
Stadium, not Filbert Street. At Anfield, his best result was a 0-0 draw against us. That was all the way back in 2011. 5th of November 2011 at Anfield, 0-0. Anyone have a poke at what Liverpool's starting 11 was? Stop looking at the screen.
I can't see that anyway.
The only thing that sticks in my head about that game was I think they had about 60% possession and they got applauded off by the Anfield crowd.
Swans alone.
Yes, they were. Yeah. Leon Britton playing like Xavi, wasn't he?
Go on, we'll talk it through. In goal?
Reina.
Pepe Reina. Right back?
Johnson.
Glenn Johnson. Left back?
Not Aurelio, no.
Not Aurelio. He's quite prevalent on the online scene these days.
Enrique.
Jose Enrique. Yeah. Centre-back pairing.
Skirtle somewhere there.
Skirtle.
Agger or Carragher then.
Daniel Agger alongside him. In the midfield, I'm trying to think what formation. Let's say it's 4-4-2-ish maybe.
Pennant.
No penance. That's no. It's after his after penance time.
Is Henderson out right? Maybe?
Henderson is there. Yeah.
Yeah. Charlie Adam.
Charlie Adam.
Downing.
Stuart Downing. Huh?
Gerrard.
No.
Just with Henderson being on the right, I thought it might have been.
Stevie Gerrard was not.
Speeding.
No. But Shelby. He is a DM. He is a defensive midfielder. Lucas Leiva.
Oh, God, yeah.
And a strike partnership of.
N'Gog.
Nope.
Suarez there at that point?
Luis Suarez. And his expensive.
Andy Carroll.
Andy Carroll. Well done. Yeah.
Needed a bit of help there.
It was.
Testing the old memory, that one. Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, right, Sal. We are doing our prize draw before we crack into what the hell Jürgen Klopp's going to do in terms of his team selection. We're just drawing this out as much as possible. We have got two prizes for you guys. Would you mind just taking one of them each to model them for the camera? Today's prize draw is for a copy of Champions of Everything, which was our book looking back on the champions, not just the Champions League winners, but obviously leading into Liverpool winning the league, becoming the champions of everything, winning the Club World Cup and the Super Cup and all that good stuff. That is, oh, look at that wonderful, wonderful little spin there. Thank you so much for that, Andy. That is great. So, yes, if you're not sure, become a club legend and you get your name on the wheel daily. Tomorrow's draw is for the Let's Talk About Six DVD as well. But, yes. I have got the Wheel of Names. I have frantically got it ready. I'm going to spin that wheel right now. Have a drum roll. Hey, we see things they'll never see. He's going to live forever alongside his copy of Champions of Everything. Congratulations. Congratulations to We See Things They'll Never See. You will take home the Champions of Everything book. Thank you so much for that. And yeah, do sign up at a Club Legend. Not only do you get access to our wonderful Discord group full of wonderful people, that you can have a chat with us about the Reds. You get free Red Men merchandise. And, of course, you get access to the full breadth of the content over on Red Men Plus. Documentaries, features, interviews, and a whole lot more, including our two-part special, which we might all need over Christmas. The 50 greatest Liverpool players of the Premier League era, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and the reaction debate show going out on Boxing Day to it, where we're talking through how some of those players got into that list. It's really, really good stuff. But, yeah, if the even if the footy stops, we have got you covered. It's a bit like Netflix for Liverpool fans, so yeah, there's all kinds of pre and post match content, documentaries, features, interviews. Keep yourself occupied, and maybe if you want to just avoid family, or maybe you want to make your family come closer to you and you love a Liverpool, then yeah, get involved with all that good stuff.
I could have done without that drum roll after battering the metal hoardings at
You were explaining to you that you
and then a round of applause as well.
The Bobby Firmino song at the top
25 minutes straight in the concourse, and these metal hoardings which just got a perfect beat going, and I took it upon myself to keep it going. So yeah,
there you go. You paid
a bit of a swollen finger today.
Paying the penance today for that one. Right, sound. Thank you so much for everyone who's joined us. Welcome back. We are going to be talking about how Liverpool and what Liverpool do. I thought what was quite interesting to kind of as a starting place, really, is to look at the starting 11 for AC Milan away. Mm-hmm. Now, we went with Alisson in goal. I would strongly suspect it will not be Alisson in goal for this one. Tsimikas was left back, Nico right back, centre-back pairing of Konate and Phillips. We know Phillips can't play because he's got a fractured cheekbone. Midfield three of Tyler Morton, Taki Minamino and Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, and then Mane, Origi and Salah. Now, what was good about that side, Roy, was, you know, we went to the San Siro with effectively a B team, albeit with, I think, Salah, Mane and Alisson being obviously the standout names in there, of course. And they would go, they had something to play for. They put their best team out with all their fans behind them, and that team, in the end, did a really good, quite comfortable job on them. I think there's a strong case to do as close to that again as possible for this one. You're at Anfield, so you've got that going for you. So we've got the crowd on our side for a start, for however many will turn up for it, given the conditions. But there's a concern if you go any more than that, do you enter a territory where you're going to make it a bit more of a slog than maybe you need it to be?
Yeah, 100%. That team you've just had on screen there, there's a good balance to it. You know, you've brought in a lot of fresh faces, obviously, to manage the games and obviously give people a rest. But it's still got the core players, the likes of Salah, you know, the likes of Mane, still giving you those little triangles that everyone talks about now. So we're probably going to say that the back four will be similar, apart from Gomez, obviously, for Phillips, we were saying before. But yeah, it just gives a good structure to the game. And when they were in the San Siro, Tyler Morton and that team looked unbelievable.
Yeah.
I know we alluded before, he didn't have the greatest in the sense of performances as a whole as a midfield, but in that game he managed it well. As you say, Salah still gives us that opportunity. You know, Salah and Mane give us that structure up front, and obviously Origi's not fit, is he?
They don't think he's fit.
Anyway.
That's the big miss, I think, which changes the conversation, Andy, because I think if Origi's fit, he just plays that, and that means you definitely, you without a doubt, giving at least one, probably two of the now established front three, the rest. Like, Firmino needs game time, so you'd imagine he will just come in. Minamino needs games, but it's whether you can. Do you go? I think a lot of us would just wrap Salah up, but maybe there's a case where you go Minamino, Firmino, Salah, and then you're giving Jota and Mane a little bit of time off, and you're telling Salah it's 60 minutes, and you're coming off there, or Kay Gordon's on the bench at the weekend. Do you just go, fuck it?
Put him up.
put Kay Gordon and carry on the trend that we've had in the league.
Is he eligible to play? Or
yes, because he played in. He didn't play in the.
Oh, he didn't play. He wasn't eligible Champions League, wasn't he? Yeah, sorry,
he played Preston, but he didn't play Norwich.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that's right.
Yeah, I think the Origi thing does throw a bit of a spanner in the works. It was always going to be Minamino, Origi, and then one other, I feel. He obviously goes with Harvey Blair, doesn't he, at Preston? I can't quite remember what he does in the first Norwich game, but certainly Minamino and Origi both play that game. So it'll be interesting to see what he does. I think he could do something where, we have to remember, we've got five subs in this, I believe, don't we?
I'm
nearly sure.
I've made that mistake in the past.
I think it's quite literally every competition apart from the Premier League where they have this thing. So I think we have the five subs. You can do something where you pre-plan a sub at halftime. You said 60. You could even do halftime, give Salah and Mane a half each.
Yeah.
And I don't think Salah's going to turn down the opportunity of 45 minutes to get some goals or assists up against a potentially weakened Leicester City side, or even like a Leicester City side which could still be ravaged with COVID. So, there's options that he can do there. He can do Chamberlain on the wing if he needs to. Don't particularly want to see it myself. He can do Nico Williams on the wing where he plays for Wales, and where when Conor Bradley came on, which I'm obviously a huge advocate for myself, when he comes on against Preston, he pushes Williams up onto the wing and he does really well. He gets the assist for the Minamino goal. So yeah, there's loads of stuff you can do there. And I mean, if you look at Minamino and Origi's goals to game, goals to minutes record in the League Cup, it's absolutely phenomenal. I think Minamino's on like 57, a goal every 57 minutes, and Origi's a goal every 80 minutes. Obviously he's been around a little bit longer, but yeah, that's their competition. It would be great if they could win something for us as well.
Absolutely. And there's just something, actually going all the way back to the Norwich game, because you're playing Premier League opposition. Now Leicester are better Premier League opposition than Norwich. You know, Norwich are effectively Championship elect, you know, opposition at this point. We had Callaghan goal, Shimikas, Gomez, Kanate, Bradley. Midfield three of Keita, Jones, Chamberlain, and the front three was Minamino, Origi, Gordon. Now we know Tyler Morton comes into that game to kind of shore it up for us a little bit when Naby Keita goes off having kicked grass. It could be somewhere in between there, I guess.
We're kind of pissing in the wind, aren't we?
Yeah.
It could be any of those those starting lineups, but obviously taking away the people who've obviously got COVID. So we are just assuming, because of obviously the COVID cases in the squad, it's kind of any of those situations any of those players could start.
I think the idea of having Kay Gordon, I mean, it'll be a big one if Klopp just goes, you're all right, and he's certainly done that in the past in cup competitions. I wouldn't be shocked to see it be Minamino, you know, Kay Gordon, Firmino start this one, and I'd be quite interested to see how Kay Gordon stands up against a decent Premier League opposition, because we might need him.
It's just the midfield issues for me, because obviously we've got our main three centre mids out, and as you said before, you know, the three that started against Spurs potentially could have been the three starting against Leicester.
Yeah.
So the first team that you showed, for me, I think that's more likely, the likes of Minamino and Ox in the midfield. I just think, as you say, we've got Gordon who can play out wide, you know, and maybe Firmino will start up front.
Yeah, I think it will depend upon Henderson, and if he's so
ill that he couldn't even be involved at the weekend. There might be something where how is he training at the start of this week, of course. But I think Tyler Morton's nailed on, and he always was. And the fact, hope, I mean, again, we don't know if there are any more cases at this point. If Henderson then turns out that he turns up a positive test, then that'll rule him out. Because the problem is that how many of these lads do you need against Leeds is the question in this one. That's why I think it complicates the rotation issue, because at the moment midfield options are the three that started plus Oxlade-Chamberlain in terms of what's available, because Thiago won't be available until after Boxing Day. Fabinho might just be available in time for Boxing Day, depending on when his positive case test came back. So, yeah, I mean, just looking, I've got an injury room up actually here just to get a glimpse of what Liverpool are kind of facing. We know Nat Phillips is out till the new year with a fractured cheekbone. Andy Robertson will be suspended until the new year following his sending off. Divock Origi, knee injury, there's a chance. They're saying it might be a chance of the 26th. Again, Boxing Day, he might be available for that. Henderson's being assessed at the moment. He's likely to be available because it is a cold and not COVID, so he's not ruled out for an extended period off it. And we know Adrian's out, so I mean that's fine. You know it'll be Kelleher if he's there. Van Dijk, is obviously coronavirus. Same with Fabinho. Elliot won't be back until the new year. Kurt Jones, having just come back to training, was immediately ruled out with COVID, so he would have played, I think. But we don't know when I suspect Boxing Day for him, and then in Thiago. So it's a mess is my long way of a kind of phrasing this. But yeah, it just depends whether Klopp is arsed or not, I think. And whether he just goes, circumstances have conspired against us. It's the perfect excuse for us to not go strong because there's bigger fish to fry. And that's the difference. And I think that difference will be, there'll be two men difference to that, maybe only one, and it's whether he chooses one of Salah and Mane to go in the front three.
I think if Henderson is cleared, I think he will play, just for the fact, you know, he's missed out on the Spurs game. I think he kind of speaks for himself, and it'll give Tyler Morgan a bit of obviously leadership to go off as well. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we're at a detriment there in the midfield. So if he's cleared, I'm sure Henderson plays.
Mm. It's just struck me there as well. I know it's not the show for it, but you mentioned Robertson suspended until the new year. If Leicester gets called off in the Premier League, then Robertson will miss Chelsea, won't it?
That's a good point.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it is a little bit of a mess. And you look at it and you think, you know, even if, I think you said, was it either Thiago or Fabinho may just be back for Boxing Day?
Fabinho, theoretically, because you're talking about a 10-day isolation period, isn't it funny how, you know, this is how football conversations go these days, but so be it. Because it was ahead of Newcastle on the Thursday, 10 days means, I believe, the 26th is when that will be the end of that.
Yeah.
So Virgil, Fabinho and Curtis, who missed that one. Was there anyone else who missed that one? I think it was just them three, right? So they should. But the thing is, if they're coming out of isolation, they wouldn't have trained in the build-up to that. So that's
apart from the yoga Zoom calls that they were.
Yes, absolutely.
All singing happy birthday to each other.
Yeah.
But how seriously Klopp takes this competition, you know, there is an argument if you're Jurgen Klopp that, you know, we're in such a tight battle with Manchester City going for this league that, you know, those three midfielders are out. Do you not play the three that you're going to play against Leeds?
Yeah.
Which leaves you with one midfielder that isn't a kid, or even Tyler Morton is a kid as well. So, you know, you could see elements of that team that are just kids. We've seen, you know, like Clarkson and Kane. I'm not sure where
they're... Both of them are also... Clarkson's at Blackburn at the moment. I can't remember where Kane's going on loan. But we've seen Balaguzzi, he's been used a couple of times on the bench, of course. I would be shocked if he wasn't on the bench. We saw Gerald Quansah, who I know nothing about, was on the bench at the weekend. You know, again, you could see a world where most of the lads who were on the bench are almost nailed on to start the game from the weekend. Yeah. And then it's how many of the ones... Because, again, it was to the point in the Champions League, is Klopp's like, I can't make 11 changes. I literally don't have the volume of players to be able to make them. So there will be lads who... If you're in the camp of... Just get all the good lads away, pack them all away for this one so they're safe for the league, I'm probably going to be a little bit on edge, because undoubtedly there will be one or two lads there that will have no choice but to play because
Yeah, and if he's going to have to do Simicast on the 26th and 28th, does he give somebody else the left-back slot for this one as well? Yeah. It's another thing.
Well, that's the point. You might find a random one where, I mean, again, if you're taking Milner out to put him in at full-back, you're taking a body out of the midfield. Where, yeah. You know, so that's its own question. Do you do something wild? I say wild, relatively wild. Like, you're either then asking one of Conor Bradley or Nico Williams to maybe go on the opposite sides.
Yeah.
I'd probably go Nico to do that, to be honest, because he's obviously a slightly more experienced footballer. Or do you put Gomez in at right back, but then you're asking Matip to go again at centre-half, which is then not going back.
Gomez at left-back.
Jesus Christ. There's a massive wall at Anfield. We're a bit like our starting 11 board, but with multiple people going, well, if he plays here and these can't play here, so how do we shuffle this around? I do not envy the coaching. Yeah, and
everything has a knock-on effect now. You know, you put a player there, you've taken him out of midfield. You know, I think you could see three or four kids possibly in this game.
And Jürgen's quite happy, I think, to ask the squad to go again and again and again in this period, because he understands, and they all understand there's buy-in. They know we all hurt. We hurt together, but we're all pulling towards a common cause, and that's where a lot of our success in December's come in the last few years. Collectivism. But I just don't know how a League Cup fixture applies to that or not. I don't know. I could see both cases. I could see us going strong, and I could see us just completely binning it off. And then, obviously, therefore, it's probably going to end up the exact middle ground. In terms of the other fixtures then, Tuesday, we'll see Arsenal versus Sunderland. And then Wednesday games is Brentford, Chelsea, us, Leicester, and Tottenham versus West Ham. This is the mad thing, because, of course, it opens up a two-legged semi-final, potentially, which are played between Premier League and FA Cup games in the first couple of weeks of January, which adds its own set of concerns. I mean, this competition could open up. That's the only thing, Roy.
Mm.
I am normally set in my steadfast against the League Cup, because I want us to win the league, and I want us to win the Champions League, and I feel like you're potentially capsizing your chances because you've got those extra games and having lads to play. However, this season, I was very much like, here's an opportunity to put one more on the board, go back above City in terms of total League Cups won, which I think is a quite important thing for a club that rates itself on its history and silverware won. But because of the players missing, I'm now having this mad argument in my head and looking at it going, well, potentially no Salah and Mane in January. There, you're back into that situation of the lads who would normally have played these games are going to be first team players in that period and blah, blah, blah. It's a bit of a head fuck.
It'd probably actually be the best solution for Liverpool would be the fact that 1 o'clock we do get a few games cancelled, just to give players a rest and get people back from our obviously COVID issues, because We're just bare bones in certain areas, and that's why
mainly just in midfield. And I think it's the good thing is, just to play devil's advocate on this, Fabinho and Thiago by all accounts are not symptomatic, so they've literally just got it and they're sitting twiddling their thumbs waiting to be able to be told they can leave the rooms again and come and play. So it's not, you know, they should just come back okay, but it's how you manage the squad until the point that they are. It's a bit of a nightmare. I don't really know what else to say to these, to be perfectly honest. I think if you get through it, then you've got no choice. You may as well go and win it.
Yeah.
Because it's the two, and the two-legged semi-final is murder.
Yeah.
It's stupid. It's insane. And if anything needs to be having conversations, it needs to be make that a one-off game. Because that's insane. If you're going to lose fixtures out of the calendar, why they lost it last year, and they brought it back for a laugh this year. But there is a point too. It's going to fuck your plans up anyway. Having two extra games of football in January, so you've got to play them regardless. You might as well just go for it. But again, it will hinge on what happens on Wednesday.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned maybe the organisers of the competition feel like it's one of the only things that still sets that competition apart, maybe from others. You know, what really is the difference between that and the FA Cup if they scrap that, other than everyone plays the kids in that? Slightly more of an extent to what they do in the FA Cup. But as you say, like they get themselves into so much trouble with it. You look at a couple of years ago where they had to make us play during our winter break, when they'd already told us please do not organise or play fixtures during this. You know, that all plays into it. They're already struggling to rearrange all these games that, you know, Villa have missed a couple, Leicester have missed a couple, and they're already struggling to get these games in somewhere. There's a very obvious open goal.
Yeah.
Scrap that. Nobody wants to watch a League Cup semi-final first leg anyway. You know, I mean, the League Cup, there's question marks as to whether, you know, how many people want to watch a game that doesn't involve your own team anyway. Never mind, you know, say it's, I don't know, Chelsea against Tottenham. I don't want to watch a first leg there. I'll maybe tune in if we can get a winner, if we can maybe.
You're
get
more
penalties.
Likely to watch the second leg, aren't you? Because that's when it matters.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
Chelsea win a semi final against Tottenham 2-1, and it's a bit like, well, nobody really celebrates it because, you know, everyone has to do the whole thing. It's only half time, this, that, and the other. I don't really understand it, but yeah, if they could scrap that, that would be great. And, you know, there's many things they can do with the competition. I mean, a couple of people have said they should play the final on New Year's Eve, which I think would be amazing. Like, I don't see any downside to that whatsoever. Yeah, imagine going to Wembley on New Year's Eve, and that's just a thing. League Cup finals, New Year's Eve, it's out of the way. You can say it's the 2021 League Cup. You don't have to even do it over the course of the season. I feel like there's so many things you can do
something special with
without running our footballers into the ground.
Yeah, do something special or just get rid of it.
Oh, yeah, or completely bin it off. Yeah. You know, it's the Tri-Wizard Cup, and is it this at this point? Like, it's just causing death and destruction more than it is happiness. I'm kind of calming down in my head on this, because we had this thing where we were bemoaning Liverpool's lack of squad depth when we had a few midfield injuries, and then like last week everyone came back and we're like, well, this is fine, and then obviously COVID did and taking another swath out of the team. But we're never going to have a more capable squad of competing on multiple fronts. And as much as they are annoying distractions from the big silverware, you know, we have got the Premier League monkey off our back. We have won that. We don't have a 30-year wait hanging over our heads to, by all, at any means necessary, get that done. City have proven that when you've got a good squad, you can compete in domestic competitions as well, just not European ones. but, you know, it's weird how we are in that kind of situation there. I'm not against it. It's tricky now. If we can find a way to make our way through it, yeah, why not? He doesn't want a trip to Wembley. He doesn't want another night. He doesn't want another piece of silver. He doesn't want another trophy. So when we're going on the open top bus tour for the league and the Champions League in the summer, obviously, you know, another cup for someone to hang over the side, so you're not missing anything.
I feel like playing the kids as well adds an element of excitement to the game. All of a sudden, you're actually not underdogs, but there's a bit of a story behind it. There's a bit of, you know, let's get behind these. You know,
Arsenal used to do it, didn't they? Yeah. With the kids, yeah, and they done well. And to be fair, it was nice to actually see the youngsters and that coming through from that. So yeah, why not? Yeah.
That Shrewsbury game, the replay where we played, that was one of my favourite games of the year. Just watching it, because we went into that game ended up as underdogs, literally with the bookies.
Yeah.
And we saw basically an under 18, and I really enjoyed watching them absolutely stick it to them and get that win. I was buzzing for that, so it adds that element to it. I do enjoy it, and I do want us to go through.
The good thing at this point is that it's not going to be Liverpool's first team, because it can't be, because we literally don't have those players available, half of them. So it's going to be an alternate Liverpool side regardless, and a bit like the AC Milan thing where we all went into that going, oh well, it's a bit of a dead rubber, who gives a shit. Now this isn't a dead rubber. We're playing for a place in a semi-final, and you know, we're games away from winning a piece of silverware, but I think there's largely a bit of apathy towards the League Cup. But by the time the game comes around, having something to do, having something to watch, having another game of Liverpool to watch is cool, and we'll be excited for it regardless. What I want is if we're going to be in it, be in it. Just go for it, you know. And the good thing is, I think no matter what side we go for, whether you go Gordon instead of Salah or Mane, you're gonna see a bunch of lads who are desperate to win, because particularly for those fringe lads, there's guaranteed games for you there. You know, there's two potentially extra important games of football, you know, for you to make yourself a hero. I mean, look at Divock Origi, for God's sake. You know, even if he's not involved in this, he is the poster child for what you can do as long as you're in and around the Liverpool squad and there's games of football to be played. You know, there's Minamino there who needs football games, because he's going to need to be ready when AFCON comes along, etc, etc. Bobby Firmino needs to be up to speed because he's going to need games of football. These young lads who are going to develop as young men and young footballers. So yes, there we go. Let's stay positive on it. It's hard to do a score prediction, but do you think Liverpool have got enough to get the win?
Yeah, I think Anfield's going to be up for it as well. I think, you know,
and that's another vital thing as well. You know, there's going to be 50,000 Liverpool fans all looking for a bit of pre-Christmas happiness.
Game before Christmas, a couple of locals in the team, you know, But as you say, a little bit more of an underdog feel. We will go in as favourites no matter what team we play, but a bit more of an underdog feel in the sense that, you know, we could have some of the young lads out and, instead of just turning up to another midweek game where it's cold and it's nearly Christmas and it's a lot of money, all of a sudden it becomes actually a little bit different. It's a little bit exciting. So, yeah, I think we'll have enough. 2-1 Liverpool.
Yeah, and we're having that thing as well of, again, we'll know more. And more to follow on our social accounts and, of course, on Redmen Plus as well as things break and develop over the rest of the day. But, you know, there's another chance that we might not be at Anfield for a while after the back of it, so just let's just go and enjoy it and take it in our stride and hope that the Reds can go and do the business.
Thing is as well, we're worried at the moment just because obviously the players we've got out from the Spurs game, but if you think about it, if those players were fit and available, we'd probably still start a similar team against Leicester with the youngsters out, and then the next game, if everything still goes ahead, Those players like your Van Dijk, your Hendersons, your Thiagos and Fabinhos are back in. So we're looking at it from a negative point of view. But when you actually think about it, it's just two games. And hopefully this time next week we'll all be smiling. The team will be strong again. And as I say, we'd probably still play a similar team come Leicester than we would even if all the main players were fit, you know?
Yeah.
I think the other thing that sometimes I think I don't take into consideration is, as amateur sports scientists as we are, analysing like injuries and you know, tiredness and fatigue, we always think that just players playing no minutes when they can, like just a complete break, is always the best thing for them, whereas they may be looking at this and they may be thinking, you've already said for me, you know, we've made the point he could do with 90 minutes in his legs, but even for somebody like Salah, they might be looking at it thinking, well, 4 days until Leeds, well, maybe he could do a 45 here, that could actually keep him fresh and in the best condition. So it's not,
and
always
he's always
just,
done that, hasn't he, with Salah and Mane? He's always, even when you think like the Champions League games, it's dead rubber games, he still plays them to keep them second over.
Yeah, well, you say exactly that. You referenced the Midtjylland game earlier on, you know, we still saw Salah and Jota start that game because, you know, there's that point, isn't it, of do we want to make this game hard, or do we want to give ourselves a reasonable opportunity? And it is just that the more you chip away at your team, the you know, you get a disjointed performance, but then disjointed becomes, like, to the point about Blair starting in the game, he clearly wasn't at the level that Liverpool needed able to do what was needed to be done in that one. And it was notable that Nico Williams playing right wing was a better option because, you know, so we'll see. I think it's fascinating regardless, and fingers crossed it does go ahead, and fingers crossed Liverpool can put a good side out, and fingers crossed Liverpool can win, because why not? Let's try and win every game of football, because let's be honest, we're all happier when that happens regardless of what happens around the world. Yes, that is the build-up show. Start 11 to come later today. Oh God. I said, Chris, you know what, it's the build up to Christmas, mate, don't come in. He's like, I've got a lot of family coming, I don't want to run the risk of having to. I said, I've got to cook dinner for two whole families. And I was like, you work from home, mate, I will do the starting 11, not thinking what that actually meant for me standing in front of the board and making a knobhead of myself. So please come along and help me out with that one. And also, as mentioned, do check out Redmen Plus over this festive period. If you become a Club Legend subscriber, there's two tiers. That's the top one. You get all the content, of course, but you're entered into those prize draws up until Christmas Day with the Kenny Dalglish top. And you can enter our Discord group and you get free merchandise and all that good stuff. But if you just want to come over as a club captain, you get all the content. And we've got that two-part special, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, the 50 greatest Liverpool players of the Premier League era as voted for by you. We are like nearly 18,000 votes on that one. It's astonishing. It's a fascinating list, so tune in for that. And the debate show has got a special reacting to it with me, James Sutton and Ross on Boxing Day as well. So yeah, plenty to keep you occupied regardless of what's happening on the pitch or off it. Do make sure you follow the guys as well. Obviously check out Top of the Cop for more of Roy in the meantime. But yeah, thank you so much, gents. It's been an absolute pleasure. Hopefully we can say the same about the match against Leicester. And yeah, other than that, have a wonderful build up to Christmas. You guys are amazing. See us all soon. Ta-da.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.